May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee, seal thy peace, or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. Hymn 916.
Read together from the Word of God, from the prophecy of Isaiah, reading together from chapter 38. The prophecy of Isaiah, and reading together from chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. and Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs, lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May the Lord bless that word of his truth to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, Once more we come before Thee and approach the throne of Thy grace, calling upon Thy great and Thy holy name. And we do thank Thee, Lord, for such great blessing and privilege that the poor and the needy of Thy people can draw near unto God by and through the merits and the person and sacrifice of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, that their prayers through Him should be a sweet smell of an odour before God the Father. And, O Lord, we thank Thee for the privilege of coming into the means of grace this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy care and Thy keeping towards us, that Thou hast preserved us each, that Thou hast brought us to this moment of time, that we have been found in Thy hands, and that Thou hast brought us thus far. But, oh, do we pray Thee, Lord Jesus, bring us each at this time to know the blessing and the truth of what it is to seek to approach unto Thee, and in that single heart of mind to worship Thee at this time. Cause our souls to flee from all things else beside. Remove from us anything that would hinder and distract at this time. And we're conscious, Lord, of the truth indeed, of the roaring lion that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. O Lord, we do pray, as Thou wast indeed that one manifested to destroy his works in us, we pray, Lord, also now, that Thou wilt, Lord, be that one to deliver and save us from him, from his craft and devices, from bringing our hearts into any worldly care and concern at this time, and that we might, Lord Jesus, worship Thee and give glory to Thee. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt come to the help of each one of us, that Thou wilt bestow and bless us each with the anointing of Thy Spirit, Thy known and felt presence. O Lord, in these things, then we shall be enabled to joy in Thee, the God of our salvation. Be with us each then, Lord. Keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon Thee. But do bless us each at this time with that poor, contrite, humble spirit that Thou wilt look down upon and take knowledge of, for it is Thy work of grace alone that hath brought us indeed to that low, that meek and humble place before Thee, that, O Lord, it shall be Thyself alone that shall have all the praise and the glory in our lives, in our worship, in our devotion, in our love to Thy name. O Lord, we do pray, keep us in that low place. Keep us, Lord, humbled under Thy mighty hand, that we might be enabled to serve Thee all our days and go forth in Thy name. So do draw near to us at this time, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, what a mercy it shall be. And if at this time we have each been drawn to Thee and to the means of grace, because Thou hast put a desire in our souls, that we should be found where thou hast promised to be, in the midst of thy people, that thou wilt come unto each one of us, that thou wilt meet our deep needs in the gospel. And Lord, we do pray that each one of us truly have at this time a need of thee, a desire, Lord, that thou wilt come and speak unto our souls the words of this life, to cause our souls to live, to have life, to have it more abundantly in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might live spiritually upon thee. O Lord, only thou canst help us truly in respect of these things. But Lord, what a mercy it is to come with a hungering and a thirsting for some handfuls of purpose. And oh, that thou wilt do us good. Fill us with thy goodness, even the fatness of thy house, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Oh, he that truly came down, that he should come and feed the gospel poor with spiritual meat and drink. And oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou dost visit amongst us from time to time, and that we have known and felt the refreshing and the renewing and the quickening of thy word and truth and grace in and upon us, to revive us, to bring us again, Lord, and to make us sensible of our need of thee, of that living bread in Jesus, to live upon thy word, thy truth and gospel. O Lord, what a great mercy it is that thou dost appear unto us in these things. And Lord, bless us with the words of this life. And Lord, we're needful of thy word. Needful, Lord, of the encouragements to our faith, to live upon thee. And that, Lord, as we are continuing in our pilgrimage journey here below, we do want, Lord, those continued evidences and those tokens in the way, Lord Jesus, to show to us our continued need of thee, and that, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, we want to know, Lord, that those evidences clear in our souls, that we're born of God, that we're true seekers in Zion, that heaven is our portion, and only, Lord, thou canst bless us with such tokens of love and mercy to us. So, Lord, we do pray, speak words in season to our souls to do us good. But, O Lord Jesus, we do pray that thou wilt indeed bring us to see again, not only that thou art the altogether lovely one unto thy people, but also, Lord, thou dost confirm us in thy love and mercy. Lord, may we come time and again to those real and true refreshings and renewings that come forth through the cross, and where, Lord Jesus, thou didst indeed lay down thy life that we, guilty, ruined sinners, might live. And Lord, this is our mercy, what thou alone hath done for us in thy finished work at Calvary. O Lord, we do pray, reveal to us time and again the greatness of that love that thou hast shown unto us in pardoning all our sins, in washing them all away, even in and through thy precious sin-atoning blood. And oh, may those two verses in the hymn that we have sung together prove to be a blessing to our souls as we are brought time and again by our faith to look upon that gracious sacrifice that thou didst make at Calvary's tree, in that thou didst, Lord Jesus, voluntarily and lovingly lay down thy life for our sins and iniquities. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And what a mercy, Lord, that we can indeed speak and so openly and blessedly that we are thy friends. Lord, that thou hast redeemed us unto thyself, that thou hast brought us, Lord Jesus, into a new and a living way, and thou hast shown to us our need of salvation. And this is our mercy, Lord. Oh, may there be any that are here at this time that have come with an indifference upon their spirit, be shown the blessedness of what it is to know Jesus in his merits and his person, in what he came to do for sinners at Calvary, and be drawn to him in true repentance of their sins. For in and through Jesus and his sacrifice is remission. So, Lord, we pray, draw near, and may we each feel our need of thee at this time. Draw our poor hearts unto thee. We thank thee, Lord, then, that thou art that one with us and dwelleth in the midst. Watch over this company of thy people as they gather together week by week in thy name. Dwell with them and in the midst. May there be indeed known and felt a spiritual prosperity in their souls, a growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there shall be none that shall be sent empty away from the means of thy grace. Lord, these things we pray for at this time, and gather in amongst thy people here those whom thou hast predestinated to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and love in their hearts for their sins and iniquities. O Lord, we pray for the enlarging of thine inheritance. We pray, Lord, for the flourishing of thy kingdom. And Lord, what a mercy it is that today is the day of grace, and that thou art that one working in and amongst the hearts and lives of men and women in the gospel to bring them to thyself. And so, Lord, we pray that there may be an ingathering, the Lord Jesus, of those ordained to eternal life. And Lord, we pray for this mercy, for those near and dear to us, those in our families, those our children and our children's children. Lord, thou hearest our prayers in respect of them. O Lord, we do pray, turn them, and they shall be turned. O that, Lord, thou wilt show to them their deep need in the Lord Jesus Christ, the solemn truth of their sins and their iniquities. O that thy Holy Spirit alone can indeed open up, show and reveal. For it is the Spirit alone, that is able to convince and convict of sin. But oh, what mercy, that there is a blessing. If anyone be taught that they are sinners, the blessed and the glorious truth what God has provided in Jesus, even the pardon and forgiveness of sin, and the promise that all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, thou art faithful, thou art true. If there be any coming sinner, may they have hope, Lord Jesus, in thy word and truth. And so, Lord, we commit these things to thee in respect of those near and dear to us. And, Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. We may see the manner of their lives, their conduct, but, Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Thou art able to bring a raving Saul of Tarsus, humbled and broken, to thy feet. So, Lord, have mercy. And we do pray, keep and preserve us from this world, from all things else beside. Help us to walk and to follow after thee, to serve thee in our day and generation. We pray for Zion this day. We pray for all the gatherings of thy people together, and in particular, Lord, in our denomination. O Lord, we do pray, draw near and visit. And Lord, bless. Bless with thy word. Comfort the souls of thy people. Comfort ye, saith the Lord. O, may that be a blessing to the souls of thy people today. But through thy sent servants, use them as instruments of usefulness in thy hands, that they may be enabled to open up and enlarge upon the scriptures of truth. And Lord, whilst thou art opening up the scriptures of truth through them by thy Spirit, so open the hearts of thy people also, as thou didst unto Lydia, and oh, that they may be blessed with thy word. So undertake, and Lord, be with all unable to attend the means of grace this day. Be with them where they are. Be all needful and all sufficient for them. But bless them with thy presence and thy word. Be with thy servant. Help him to speak in thy name, thy word of truth. Put the rich treasure of thy gospel grace into his earthen vessel. Let thy servant decrease. Let Christ increase through the pulpit, and thy name have all the glory and the praise, and fill the souls of thy people with thy goodness. We ask these mercies in and through the name and the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy foul backslidings, sinner flows from Jesus' wounds. Hymn 913.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38, reading together from verses 16 and 17. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38, reading together from verses 16 and 17. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. It was a solemn time and a season that Hezekiah, in the providence of the Lord, had come to a time and season of sickness and disease, and that sickness and that disease was going to bring about the solemn truth of his death, that departing from this world. This is a truth that surely will come to each and every one of us without any doubt whatsoever, unless the Lord come first. But it will come. The time and the season of our life, our birth, is with the Lord. The time and the season of our departing and death is with the Lord. A time to be born and a time to die. Hezekiah had come to that time to die. He was instructed by the prophet Isaiah to set his house in order. That is a proper thing to do. Probably today it would be in this, to make our will, and all those things that we would wish and desire to follow after our decease. It is proper that it should be so. King Hezekiah would set his house in order. Those that were about his household and in the affairs of government and in the ruling of the nation and in those things concerning his near ones. Not that Hezekiah at this time had any family. He wasn't married at this time. In the next chapter, we're instructed that the Lord did show to him that those that would proceed from him. And so at this time, Hezekiah, not yet married, but to set in order those things that concerned him and those near to him, those in government, and also those things personally in respect of himself. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. For Isaiah had spoken the word of the Lord to him, for thou shalt die and not live. It does show to us very clearly and very plainly the solemn truth of the fall. It is found in us and evident with us. Dear friends, we may have come into times of sickness, times of disease here below. Well, dear friends, it is an evidence of the fall, But there are those times and seasons when those sicknesses and diseases will result in our departing from this earthly scene. The solemn truth of the transgression of our first parents, the Garden of Eden, the solemn truth, the Lord commanded them, obey and live, disobey and die. And that dying was corporeal, spiritual and eternal death. And so corporeal death, here in respect of Hezekiah and ourselves, shall come to pass. Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and he spoke in respect, I beseech thee, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept. So he was a good king, wasn't he? In chapter 32 he says this, a king shall reign in righteousness. That had its reference to Hezekiah. And he did reign in righteousness, didn't he? He pulled down all the groves and the idols in the land, the offense, and he encouraged again the true worship of the Lord. Again, the Passover instituted, you know. He brought again, shall we say, real religion in the land. Isn't it important that, dear friends, today? He was a good man. His love was to his God. First and foremost, dear friends, he put his God first and before himself. So he was a good man. But, you know, he reigned in righteousness, didn't he? He reigned in righteousness. Well, how come that was a blessed and a glorious truth? Because, friends, the Lord had divinely wrought in him a righteousness, and that was the blessing, that he could rule in righteousness. Yes, the king's daughter is all glorious within. A work of divine grace in the soul of a sinner, dear friends. And the working and the power of it is of God. And friends, what God has wrought inwardly, friends, will be brought to act outwardly and practically in our lives. It must do. A walking with God, a serving God. And that was the manner and the conduct of Hezekiah. But in verse 5, just reflecting upon verse 2, he prayed unto the Lord. He came before the Lord in respect of those things that he had done and accomplished for the Lord. It was because of grace in his heart. You notice one truth in respect of Hezekiah. He didn't ask the Lord to recover him. Oh, he didn't ask the Lord to recover him. He was under the will and the sovereignty of the Lord. And he knew that. I'm not saying that we may pray for those that are in sickness and disease, that the Lord may be pleased to recover them and restore them. But then we have to say one thing, do we not? Following that, if it be thy will, that is what we have to conclude with. Because every matter concerning our lives is in the hands of the Lord. That is the truth. And then, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. What a mercy it is, friend, that the Lord, we may see it in this sense of it, dear friends. We may enter into sicknesses and diseases, which indeed may render us indeed unto death, or the end of those sicknesses and diseases may bring us unto death. but in the rich mercy of our God and in his overruling hand, dear friends, he is able to restore and able to bring about a cure. This was a disease unto death. Now the Lord, friends, may use instruments of usefulness in his hand today. He may use physicians. He may use surgeons. You see, he may use medicines and cures. All in the hands of the Lord, dear friends. The hands of the Lord. The Lord brought about the recovery of Hezekiah and gave him 15 years. Has the Lord met with us, dear friends, the times of our sickness and our disease? Has he brought about a restoration, friends? There may have been those times and seasons when we have been brought into great illness and sickness and the uncertainty of it, dear friends, not knowing whether it was unto death or not. Well, the Lord knows, but this truth, dear friends, that the Lord in his rich mercy may recover and restore. The effect of this then upon Hezekiah. O Lord, by these things men live. First, he is able to say this, O Lord. Now, that will be different, friends, to the men and the women of this world. They may come into sicknesses and diseases, and they may also be recovered and delivered from their sicknesses and diseases. Men of the world. But, friends, they go on ignorantly, friends, not knowing that it has been according to the mercy of the Lord. Yes, even in the men of the world, that they've recovered. But Hezekiah is able to say this, O Lord, what a mercy that is, isn't it? That we can come to the Lord and know that his gracious hand, friends, has been in our recovery and our restoration. O Lord, see, men of the world, women of the world, they go on in their ignorance, don't they? A very solemn truth. They do not acknowledge the gracious hand of God in respect of their lives here below. Very solemn truth. But what a mercy if we do. O Lord. Isn't he saying this? My Lord. Doesn't that make the difference? Of course it does. My Lord. A testimony, dear friends, Hezekiah has here, that everything that concerned him in respect of this sickness, O Lord, the Lord was in it. And doesn't that bring us to this truth? By these things, O Lord, by these things, by what things? David was able to say, all my times are in thy hand. Yes, all the times, friends, of his life, his troubles, his trials, his afflictions. Yes, the times of adversity, the times of difficulty. Yes, O Lord, by these things, troubles, afflictions, and David had his times and seasons of sickness and disease. O Lord, by these things men live. By these things. Job could say a truth in respect concerning himself. But, oh, we do pray that we may know that this word does form a part of our lives also. That Job, all his affliction, all his trial, and all his trouble, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Isn't that the truth in respect of ourselves, that we're in the hands of the Lord, that we're under His care, His keeping, but under His sovereign dealings with us. And they're sovereign, dear friends, according to His will and His purpose. It is a mercy, dear friends, to come into the acknowledgement of that. He that performeth all things for me in our lives, every minutest circumstance, every minutest detail, dear friends, of our lives is with Jesus. O Lord, by these things. And then we have another truth in respect of, O Lord, by these things. They are God's dealings with us, with His people, dear friends. You see, this truth, we don't know what a day might bring forth, do we? This time of sickness and disease came upon Hezekiah. He wasn't conscious of it, friends, beforehand. No, he wasn't. And so we have this truth, that we don't know what a day might bring forth. But how are we living, dear friends? Are we living to the Lord day by day? I've said this before. We are in the Lord's hands. But there may be many today and in this land of ours that may rise up this day, leave their homes, never to return again. It is a solemn truth, dear friends, the appointed time for their departing this earthly scene, the sovereignty of the Lord. May we bow down to the sovereignty of our God. You know, He's a good God, and He deals with His people as in love and in mercy. He looks down upon them, dear friends, but we come to Him day by day, that we might know that grace to live upon Him and to serve Him. And so it is by these things, O Lord, by these things. Yes, our times are with Him. And we might just reflect in our lives. I know that there have been those times in my life when I have been split second from death. Yes, dear friends. When I was a younger boy, probably careless and neglectful, split second from death, and it is only in my later years that I could reflect more fully upon it. But the Lord in His providence, dear friends, drew near and preserved me and kept me. And we do need to reflect at times. Are there those times and seasons where we have come, as it were, very near to death? Well, reflect upon it, that it is the Lord that has overruled, that the Lord has been in government in respect of us, that He has brought us safely through till now. And have we not been brought to pass then through times and seasons? We don't want to just concentrate on sickness and disease. Let us look, friends, for we must take this word and apply it to every part and aspect of our lives. Yes, and particularly in afflictions and trials and difficulties, and in the whole manner and course of our lives, that it is the Lord that has ruled and overruled in every part for us. O Lord, by these things men live, and we're brought to see His gracious hand towards us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And another truth in respect of Hezekiah and the church today: known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knew this time and season of this sickness and disease of Hezekiah, and he knew the times and seasons of trials, afflictions, times of adversity, times of trouble in respect of the church. I will speak and make mention of it in a spiritual manner in just a moment. But you see this truth: the Lord is in everything concerning us. Known unto God are all his works. And that is, friends, his works concerning us, personally, privately, individually. He knows our works concerning us. And we do pray that we may each come into a knowledge of that, that we are under, friends, his gracious dealings and dispensations concerning us. We may have met with many opposites, may have met with many troubles, many afflictions, may have passed through a path of briars and thorns, but it is according to the Lord's hand and what he has ordained for us, and we shall need grace to pass through them, grace to be upheld and grace to be kept, dear friends, and grace to continue to venture our all upon him in respect of them. And this will be our mercy indeed. O Lord, by these things, it's an acknowledging of the Lord in every part of our lives, dear friends. O Lord, by these things men live. It is very solemn. The men and the women of the world, yes, they live and they continue. They come through their troubles. They have trials just the same as we do. But they never acknowledge the gracious hand of the Lord in them. O Lord, by these things men live. And then just this word in respect of this: those all things that are working together for good. Did it not work together for good for Hezekiah? Yes, dear friends, it brought him into acknowledgement of the gracious dealings of God with him. That's where it brought him. And may it bring us to that place. What does it do for us, dear friends? All things working together for good. Yes, the times of our recovery from sickness, the times of our deliverance through afflictions and trials. What does it do for us, friends? We may be in the midst of troubles and trials and difficulties at the moment, times of adversity. What is it doing for us, dear friends? O Lord, by these things men live. Where did it bring Hezekiah, dear friends? Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. You know, the Lord, he hears the prayer of the destitute, the prayer of the poor, the prayer of the needy, the prayer of the helpless ones, the weak ones, those who know so much of their own sinnership day by day. But the Lord knows. But see, Hezekiah turned unto the Lord, called upon his name. There's no other place, dear friends, to go to. The throne of grace. It is that only place that is open for poor, needy sinners such as Hezekiah. Yes, he was a king. Government was with him. The Lord gave him wisdom and grace. But he was a poor man. was with David. David was a king. He was a man given wisdom and grace. But this poor man cried, you see, this poor man cried. Where does it bring us, dear friends? In our trials and in our difficulties. Are we bowed down before the Lord our God? Do we act, dear friends, as though we haven't got a Lord God to go to? I pray that it may not be so. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. In Psalm 66 we have a truth that makes reference to that. And in verse 9, I'll read verse 8 and verse 9. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. He holdeth our soul in life. Yes, the life that is given to us naturally, the life that we're living now, but he holdeth our souls in life, dear friends. That new life, that new birth that is given to us through grace, he holdeth it, dear friends. We can't hold it ourselves. Not at all, dear friends. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our preserver. And friends, we have to cast our all upon him. Yes, in respect of that new life of grace within us. And what a mercy this truth. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. You know, it is the Lord that will work in us and upon us and to keep alive our souls in all these trials and all these difficulties. You know, I was thinking of one or two of those things that concern the Lord's dear people in the times of their trials and difficulties. And there are those times when the Lord, in his rich mercy, will appear for his people. Just looking for Jonah. He brought about his own trouble, didn't he? He disobeyed the word of the Lord. But what a mercy it is that in the trouble that he was brought into and to pass through, he didn't call them the troubles of anyone else, but those things that the Lord brought him into. He says, thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas. He didn't say the mariners cast him into the midst of the seas and into the deeps, did he? The Lord, you see. And then he came to this truth. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Friend, in all his trouble, this is the truth with him. And in all these things, the life of my spirit. Oh, there was no, friends, other place that this poor man could come to, but to come to the Lord. The Lord had shown him the foolishness and folly of his heart and of his life. But now he was venturing upon the Lord. And the Lord had brought him into that very low and dark place. And his soul fainted within him. But he had hope. Oh, this truth. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Ah, dear friends, the Lord will sustain and uphold that life of grace within us. That goes out to the Lord. That comes to the Lord. That will meet our needs. He came to the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple, meaning heaven, dear friends, where the Lord hears and answers prayer. You know, although he had brought himself into that trouble, wasn't this a blessed truth in respect of him? That quickening within, that moving of his spirit towards his Lord, that new man of grace, you see, it will never die. No, it cannot, dear friends. It's a seed of heavenly birth. And it was here that Jonah was able to remember the Lord. That the Lord was his only hope. I was thinking also of David. And David was a man that came into a lot of trouble in his life. But his son Absalom became a usurper, didn't he? Very solemn thing, isn't it? To take the throne of his father David, who had been anointed to it. But oh, the despair and the discouragement that came upon the spirit of David. But you see, it served to good purpose. He was discouraged. It would have been grieving to him that his own son should do such a thing. But this truth, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude, and then I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, separated from all that now. But then, in the midst of his trouble and his affliction, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? You see, the Lord will sustain the life of our souls. That new birth, that inward birth, that new life of grace. And the Lord only can sustain it. And he says, hope thou in God. You see, a God in covenant with his people. A God in covenant with his people. You know, he is so near to his people. In all their afflictions, he is afflicted. That is, he showeth mercy and pity and compassion. And so it is. There was just another thought in respect of the times of difficulty and trial that may come in and upon us. I just thought of that time and season when David came to great trial and difficulty at Ziklag. We don't know what a day may bring forth, do we? They were returning to Ziklag. David's men, his little army, and the Amalekites had burned the city, taken their wives, taken their children. We may not be able to really come into the feelings that they must have come into at that time. Their families, their dear ones, their loved ones, taken. The distress, oh, the trouble, the anguish that came upon them. And then this truth, even his own men sought to stone him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, there was hope for David in the midst of all his trouble. Yes, his two wives also went. Then all the remainder of them, their families. And yet David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. One of those encouragements is this. He encouraged himself in a God in covenant, a faithful God. What is the truth of the blessing of these things that are before us here? O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things of the life of my spirit. It is this, dear friends, the word of the Lord. That is where David went to, the promises of the Lord. The same with Asa. You know, he was in great trouble. And he said, it is nothing with thee to help, you see. There was no other help, because the Lord has made promises of help to his people. And he looked for that help. And the Lord will not deny his help to his people if he has promised it. And so they come to him, depending and trusting upon his faithful word, that the Lord will come and help them, that he is faithful. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit, looking to the word of the Lord. This is the hope that we have, a trusting in him, that the Lord will appear for his people. Now this is the truth. To plead the promises of the Lord, what he has spoken to us. He has said that he will never leave nor forsake his people. And he will not, dear friends. In verse 16, our text, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. In verse 15, he says, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. What was it, dear friends? The Lord gave him 15 years. Thou hast both spoken it. It was a promise. It came to pass. It was a faithful word. Something that he could depend upon and trust in and hope in. You see, he thought he had but days to live, but the Lord gave him 15 years. Isn't that mercy? And he hung upon that promise. Thou hast both spoken it. Well, the Lord has spoken his word to us today. Dear friends, he is faithful. He will not let his people down. He will come to their help, to their aid. He has promised it. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, Jesus. And he will come. I thought of that truth in respect of Jacob. And he was in great trouble before Esau. And what did he do, dear friends? He pleaded the word and the promise of the Lord. And friends, we can plead the word and the promise of the Lord. Take it to him, dear friends. His word that is spoken, take it to him. Thou hast said, he will honour. Oh, if it is done, dear friends, in that proper, humble and right spirit, he will acknowledge his word. and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. It was planning, dear friends, that way that there might be some escape, that way where there might be some deliverance. But he came before the Lord. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country. He hadn't come to it yet. Return unto thy country. And he promised that, didn't he, dear friends, a little earlier on. He said, I will be with thee in all places whither thou goest. He said, and I will not leave thee. He said, I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. And that was the promise that Jacob held on to. And he pleaded that promise. And that is what we have today, dear friends. The promises of a covenant God. Now, friends, this truth. To look to the Lord. Plead his promises. And so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. There was a recovery for Hezekiah. It means this truth, that there was a recovery to him in respect that he was quickened again and inwardly and spiritually. And that is the mercy. You know, the Lord does come and he does quicken. He does lift up our spirit, dear friends, in the time of these troubles and trials. It was so with Hannah in respect of hers. The Lord maketh low. The Lord lifteth up. And he does, dear friends. The Lord killeth. The Lord maketh alive. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. And to live upon the Lord spiritually, to live upon his word and upon his truth, to live upon his grace, his mercy, to live upon him, dear friends. We have no one else to live upon, dear friends, no one else. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. It means this, dear friends, he was in bitterness. He was a broken man. And we may often come to those times and seasons in our afflictions and trials and those things that may come in and upon us. A bitterness. A broken man. But now he had peace. And peace, friends, was the covering. Peace was the blessing. Peace was the mercy of God. Peace in the Word of God. That is the blessing that we have today. It brought peace many times to Jacob, that the Lord promised and fulfilled his promises to him, also David. And he will so to us today. You know, in these promises that the Lord has made to his people, I just want to point to one truth in respect of them. Samuel was speaking in respect of the promises of God, because the children of Israel had, to their foolishness and folly, desired a king, and they were those that turned away from the Lord God. But this truth, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now that is the difference, dear friends. It has pleased the Lord to make you his people. And so this is the truth here, and the blessing, that these who are made the people of God through grace, renewed, converted, regenerated, It is a blessing, dear friends. And then this peace. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But it means for the bitterness that was upon him and upon his soul and spirit, he now enjoys peace. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What was this truth, friends? It was brought to reflect this truth. It brought him into another blessing, but this was the greater blessing that it brought him into here, because delivered it, for thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You see, he had delivered him from the pit of corruption, as it was the grave in a natural sense. But you see, he was brought to think of something far more blessed, a truth than this, that the Lord had delivered him by his salvation from hell, dear friends, from the pit of corruption. And that is what belongs to us all by nature, isn't it? The pit of corruption. But thou hast in love to my soul, or the love of God to sinners in the person of Jesus, our great deliverance and our salvation, deliverance, friends, from the pit of corruption, even hell itself. But oh, we think of those truths in Zechariah. And as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. You know, dear friends, there is mercy and salvation with Jesus. There is deliverance with Jesus. The blood of the covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood of the Lamb of God, to cleanse and to heal from sin. You know, sin, that disease that may take us by sickness to our death. But friends, it is the disease and sin of leprosy in the soul, isn't it, that the Lord has delivered him from, that can bring us into a spiritual and an eternal death, friends. And he had known the deliverance from that. You see, this is the mercy. And there is a truth in respect of this word. Oh, let us not forget the greatness of our deliverance through the blood and the merits of Jesus. Job, if I can just find it, says in one place this blessed and glorious truth. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom, or an atonement. And friends, it is in Jesus. It was in our first hymn, wasn't it? Sacrifice. What an atonement that was, dear friends. When we sing it, dear friends, were we drawn to that word, that hymn of praise, friends? It's our salvation, you see. Delivered from going down into the pit, the never-ending, eternal destruction of the soul. Delivered. Such, friends, was the atoning work of Jesus at Calvary, that he delivered us. And this is the truth in respect of our sins. Behind thy back, dear friends, behind thy back, it is important that our sins are put behind our back, dear friends, for this truth. In Jeremiah chapter 16, we have a word shown to us, and it is this in verse 17. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. You know, those, it is very solemn, friends, those unforgiven, their sins and iniquities are ever before the Lord. before his eyes, dear friends. And it is Jesus that has taken those sins and iniquities and removed them to put them behind our back. And friends, as God will look upon us and love us and behold us in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, he cannot behold our sins, dear friends. And that is our mercy today. And friends, a spiritual application to this, and we will finish. It is this. Is there any, dear friends, afflicted and tried in respect of their sins and iniquities today? Well, dear friends, there is this hope, and it is in the person of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then that rest in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. And it is a mercy to be burdened by sin. But all that also in the prophecy of Isaiah, and where the Lord, we are in a day of grace, dear friends. And if we're afflicted and burdened by our sin, there is a hope in Jesus. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, we have the word and the promise of the Lord to all those who are now burdened and afflicted with sin, that there is a hope, dear friend, in the person of Jesus and his blood. May the Lord bless these remarks. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £645, and on Monday for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £776, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett. I would just mention that Mr. Robert Field had been hoping to come to take that prayer meeting, but he is now very ill and has cancelled all his engagements away from his own chapel, and we don't know whether he's well enough to preach there today. May our prayers be for him also. God willing, Mr. Ashby will preach on Tuesday evening, and there'll be reading services next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 797. Now from the garden to the cross, let us attend the Lamb of God. Be all things else accounted dross, compared with sin atoning blood. Hymn 797.
bless our gathering together this morning. May we each feel and know thy presence with us. Pray that thy word hath drawn out our poor souls unto thee in faith and love. Pray that all that has been attended to shall be to thy honour and glory. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Bring us to the evening sacrifice, if it be thy gracious will. Be with us in the interval, and those that attend upon the Sunday school. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.